My name is Will Lee. I'm a Dotson intern. I see a few new faces, so I thought I'd introduce myself a little bit. But the land lay out before me, rumpled like a hastily made bed. The foothills covered in trees, giving way eventually to mountains tinged with purple. The clear blue sky housing a lone bird doing lazy circles, and the sun warming the rock that I was looking out from. And down in the valley, there's a little speck where I'd started a couple hours before. Now, hiking to the top of Blue Mountain at Shrine Mount Retreat Center is one of my favorite things to do while on retreat. Is up at this top, bare spot. You can see how wide, how wonderful God's creation is. You get a sense of the land that seems to have just been shaped by someone's careful, gentle thumb working with clay. You can get the sense of awe. Imagine the disciples and Jesus may have felt some of this awe looking out from the Garden of Gethsemane, looking across the Kidron Valley out to where Jerusalem was. They might have seen how wide and how wonderful creation was. But that's not where the King of creation is standing. This King, who is the Word of God, through whom all things were made, who is mightier than the waves, mightier than the breakers, whose throne was established at the very beginning of creation, before there was land, before there was sea. This King of creation, who commands the weather, the storms, the waves to be calm, and they are. Who commands the trees to bear fruit or be cursed and die. This King of creation stands clapped in irons, face to face with something else entirely. Stands questioned, searched, accused by empire. By an empire that survives and thrives even on greed, on subjugation and domination and exploitation. An empire that sustained its food systems on the back of fertile land in North Africa while the farmers went hungry. They built its cities by clear-cutting whole hills, whole mountains, leading to erosion and flooding. An empire that lifted up for itself a leader claiming to be a god who would lay the land low for the prosperity of the few. In this self-same empire, having only 4% of the world's population, but now emitting 12% of the greenhouse gases, this same empire, rather than eating fewer cheeseburgers, instead warms the planet 1.5 degrees Celsius, reaching that mark just this year. This empire, rather than driving a little less and maybe biking a little more, melts the glaciers into the ocean. This empire, rather than searching for ways to reuse and reduce and recycle. Lifts the sea level, makes a new island of garbage. This empire, too, lifts up for itself a leader claiming to be sent by Christ, but not recognizing the glory of God revealed in creation. We know something of empire. We know something of sin. But all of this sin that we are bondaged to, you and I, it oppresses us and it oppresses creation. And it drives us toward the brink of destruction. A researcher at MIT did a very complicated and fancy analysis called Limits to Growth. And she predicted that in the year 2040, or shortly thereafter, civilization would collapse, food systems would come undone, massive destruction and death. And the year 2100 would look like the year 1900. My boys will be 18 and 16 in 2040, on the cusp of adulthood. I'm not sure what kind of a world will be there for them. Where will your children, your grandchildren, your nieces, nephews, cousins, loved ones, where will they be? The scale is immense, is massive. It would seem that all that is left to us that despair would be hope. But we can have hope. We can be founded on hope because that king of creation who stood clapped in irons would just a few hours later be hung on a cross, pressed to the wood. Doing this, we are told, out of love, to free us from our bondage and oppression to sin. But not just for us, but so that we, who can now be free, can turn around and free creation. That we can come back into relationship, not only with our Creator, but with the whole kingdom of heaven, that we might again be gardeners in a garden rather than lumberjacks in a forest. Can have some hope. Because we know, even though we know we're not there yet, we still know destruction is out there. But in this tension, this not yet, there is that kernel of hope. We can change. We are not bound to be the sinners we have been. That we can be transformed. We can be made new as creation is transformed and made new each and every season. this transformation. This is not for us. Again, this is not for us to be born, but it is rather for us to give birth. To give birth with God to this new creation, this new way. Because the King of creation is mightier, mightier than even this. That we who are to be the gardeners in the garden, we can stand on top of a mountain and feel small and revel in that and rejoice in the creation. That we can listen and hear the mountains and the valleys, the trees and the brooks, the birds in the air and the fish in the sea as they sing out. And we can lift our voices too. And we can sing to God, our Creator, to the King of creation. Glory to you and praise, for you have made a wonderful thing. Glory to you, revealing your splendor and your beauty in our mountains and our reefs. Glory to you in your grace and your love that sought to bring us together, to bind us in love. Glory to you. We can sing in harmony. And sing with joy. Because the stones already cry out. The rivers gurgle the melody. So let us raise our voices to sing with all of creation, standing not apart from it, but a part of it, till the whole world cries out, glory to God. Amen. Amen. Amen.